Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Emcure Pharmaceuticals Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Today we have on call Mr. Satish Mehta, CEO, Mr. Samit Mehta, Executive Director, Mr. Vikas Thapar, President, Corporate Development, Strategy and Finance, Mr. Tajuddin Shaikh, CFO, Mr. Piyush Nahar, EVP, Corporate Development and Strategy. I now hand over to Mr. Piyush Nahar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Arshi. Good afternoon, everyone. Earlier today, we released our financials for the first quarter of fiscal 2026, along with the press release. These are also posted on our website. We hope you all had a chance to review it. I'd like to bring to everyone's notice that this call is being recorded, and the recording and transcripts will be available on our website. Before we begin, I want to remind everyone about the safe harbor related to today's investor call. Today's discussion may include forward-looking statements, which must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that our business faces that could cause our future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. At the end of the call, if any of your queries remain unanswered, please feel free to connect us. I'll now request Mr. Satish Mehta, our CEO, to provide the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Piyush. Good afternoon to all of you. Kaise aap log? It's a pleasure to speak to you again post our first quarter results of FY26. I am pleased to share the positive results of your company to start off the fiscal year ahead. We had a strong start to the fiscal year with all businesses, all verticals showing excellent growth. Overall, our revenue grew by 15.7% year-on-year, while EBITDA grew by 20%. Our profit after tax, PAT, grew by 41%, and we reported our highest quarterly profits of 215 crores. I repeat, 215 crores. Let me now provide key business updates for the quarter which ended. Our domestic business grew faster than the industry in the quarter under the reference. We saw strong growth in all our key therapies, as if gynec, cardiac, anti-infective, and vitamins. As I told you in the last call, our new initiatives that we have taken in derma and consumer wellness are seeing a positive trend and strong traction. We expect derma as well as consumer wellness to become our key growth drivers in times to come. We continue to take steps to strengthen and synergize. We continue to take steps to strengthen and synergize our domestic business. We expanded our partnership with Sanofi for the diabetes segment. You are aware that is part of the public domain. We'll now be marketing and distributing Sanofi's oral diabetic portfolio with key brands Amaryl and Cetapin. These two brands will be promoting from 1st of August. As you know, 15 months back, we also had the cardiovascular portfolio, and we have done a reasonably good job. Now, with this cardiovascular portfolio and now these metabolics, I am pleased to tell my shareholders that your company is emerging as a strong player in the field of cardio-diabetes segment. We were strong in cardio with Amaryl and Cetapin. I have every reason to believe that we will also emerge as a player to reckon with in metabolics diabetes segment as well. I am pleased to inform that we are strengthening our team with some significant additions. I am happy to welcome Mr. R. S. Vasant into the Emcure family as President, India Business. He brings with him rich experience in managing India formulation business of last 40 years, with stint with various multinationals and Indian company, And as far as his last, 15 years are concerned, he was still with Sun Pharma. We remain confident that we'll continue to grow above industry during the year with the steps, that we are initiating. And I'm pretty, confident about our journey in the domestic business. With some briefing about the domestic business, let me now move to the international segment. Our international business grew strongly by 20%, with all the verticals, all the geographies seeing a pretty good traction. Our Canada business, about which I spoke to in previous quarters, continues to show strong growth led by market share gains and new launches. Our rest of the world, we call it as emerging markets, is also seeing a strong traction in both ARV and non-ARV segments. This is led by new product approvals in our target countries. I told you that we have a reasonably strong presence in ARV, but at the same time, the strategy is to emerge stronger in non-ARV segments, and this is driven by unique products so that we are also selling in the emerging markets. I am happy to inform that Europe grew in double-digit growth, and we have a healthy pipeline going forward. As mentioned in my last call, Emcure has embarked on a journey of growth and improved margins through innovation, partnership, and newer geographical reach. This is the first year of five-year vision to take Emcure into the next orbit. I repeat, this is the first year of our five-year vision to take Emcure into the next orbit. During this period, our focus will remain on building strong foundation through investments in new technologies, processes, and above all, people to deliver highly profitable and above average growth. I'll repeat, our focus will remain through investment in new technologies, processes, and people to deliver highly profitable and above average market growth. Let me repeat once again that Emcure remains an India-focused company with huge opportunity to tap the unmet medical needs of over 1.4 billion Indians. We are very, very committed to the domestic market. All I can say is that we at Emcure are very excited, are absolutely excited in this phase as we see a huge opportunity unfold ahead of us. We remain focused on building a company that creates everlasting value for all its stakeholders. We remain focused on building the company that creates everlasting value for all its stakeholders. I am very satisfied with what we have achieved so far, and even more excited about what lies ahead of us. I will end my opening remarks by saying, watch this space as more and more exciting opportunities unfold, helping make your company one of the most admired companies within the pharmaceutical industry. Watch out for this particular space, as together with you people, your company will emerge as one of the most admired company within the pharmaceutical industry. Let me touch base on another topic of interest before I conclude. We all keep on talking about tariff and what's happening, with the Trump administration. Unfortunate but true that 50% tariff has been launched, with exports from India, and you never know what is going to happen about the pharma industry. Only President Trump knows about it. But I want to highlight that your company is predominantly insulated from US market, with our exposure to US being less than 3%. Let me repeat that as far as Emcure is concerned, your company is predominantly insulated from the US market, with our exposure to US being less than 3%. With these remarks, I would now pass on the call to my CFO, Tajuddin Sheikh, to share the financial details of last quarter before we open up the floor for your questions and answers. Absolute pleasure in talking to you, and thanks for making it convenient to attend the call, which means a lot to me personally and obviously to the company, your continued interest in Emcure. Thank you very much. Taj.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Before we move to the Q&A, I'll take you through some of the key financial highlights for the first quarter. Revenue from operations for the quarter grew by 15.7% year-over-year to 2,101 crores, up from 1,815 crores in Q1 FY25. The domestic business grew by 9.4% year-over-year to 995 crores, driven by strong performance across all key therapies. International market maintained solid momentum, growing 22% year-over-year to 1,106 crores. Emerging markets grew impressively by 42% year-over-year to 360 crores with strong contributions from both ARV and non-ARV portfolios. Canada reported a 16.4% growth to 342 crores. Europe saw robust growth of 12.8% year-over-year, reaching 403 crores. Gross margins for the quarter stood at 61.8% versus 57.8% in 4Q and 62.4% in 1Q of 25. The change was driven largely by product and business mix. EBITDA, excluding other income, grew 20.1% year-over-year to 404 crores. EBITDA margins stood at 19.2% versus 18.5% in Q1 24 and 18.4% in Q4 25, supported by strong operating leverage and productivity gains. Depreciation and amortization was flattish quarter over quarter at 99 crores. Interest cost was 27 crores, reflecting lower borrowings. The effective tax rate stood at 26%. Profit after tax came in at 215 crores, showing strong growth of 41% year over year. With that, I will now open the floor for questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Amey from JM Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question and congrats on good numbers. Hello, am I audible? Hello.
Mr. Amey, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line. Am I audible? Hello. 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 Am I audible?
One second. Mr. Ramay, could you come again?
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for giving the opportunity and congrats on good numbers. So I had joined a bit late. So in case I'm repeating the question, just so basically the 9% growth which we have delivered this year in India, is it fair to assume that this base is on the normal base as well? If you can give us the breakup in terms of the volume and price for this 9% growth for the quarter.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, this is on a normalized basis, so there's nothing in that. I think in terms of the price, volume and all, volume would have been about 4%, price about 4% and about couple of percent of, 1 to 2% of your new launches that we have.
So is it fair to say that from the negative trajectory of volumes in post-COVID for 2 years, then last year around 2% volume growth, what we have seen, now we have moving towards like 4 to 5% kind of a volume growth for the full year?
Yeah, that is what we are targeting.
Sure. And going ahead, because there will be diabetes sales additions happening, right, from the Sanofi, so how should we look at the number for the full year? Is it possible to quantify how much will be the sales coming in from the Sanofi diabetes portfolio?
Sanofi would roughly be about a 200 CR portfolio, annualized, that we'll have. So you'll get about 9 months of that in this year. We started from August. Yeah.
Seven months.
Sure.
Eight months. I mean, 8 months we'll be getting in the current year, and on annualized basis, you know, it is 200 CR.
Got it. In terms of MR addition, has there been any MR addition for diabetes or we would be working with same cardiometabolic MRs, like if you can clarify?
We already had three divisions in the cardio-diabeto space, so we are not adding new MRs. This will get fit in the current ones only.
Sure. And the last question I have on the FCM performance, if you can elaborate for this quarter, how the performance has been, especially now the competition has been largely settled in.
So I think there on the prescription side now, we're actually seeing the revival on growth. So this quarter, the overall for FCM grew in double digits for us. So that is doing well for us. I think there we are seeing where I think it's still a bit more challenging is on the institution side and all, where pricing, so some of the competition is still there at lower pricing. But I think on the promoted side, we are seeing traction and revival.
Amey, just to add to Satish Mehta, because what really happens, you know, I mean, the promotion, we are essentially focusing on quality and certain parameters where we are better than the competitors. Because as you know, this particular product, you know, Emcure brought in the company for the first time. So we are having a lot of data, and the scientific promotion is also helping us. And I think, you know, we are getting the traction going forward. And as Piyush rightly said, in prescription market, we are doing well. But when it comes to the question of institutions, the challenges remain.
Got it. And just last question, like how much would be the mix in terms of prescription and institutional for us for that particular product franchise?
So for the overall for FCM asking or for the overall?
For FCM franchise, how much would be the...
I think now a majority will be prescription driven now.
Okay, sure. So that should start reflecting in our performance basically,
yes.
The prescription.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Sure. Thank you so much. I will join back.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Alan Kerr from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. So you had spoken about further launches in FY26 in the women's health segment in the previous quarter. Can you take us through the progress on that front?
So yeah, we have launched two areas. So one is which we talked about the PCOS, and second is on the menopause. Both of them have been launched in last quarter. I think as we had talked about last time, these are new concepts we are trying to establish in the market. So early days, but we are seeing good traction out there. But I think for them to become material, it will take time because we are still establishing these concepts out in the market.
Understood. Also, if you can comment, Piyush, on the performance of the iron portfolio in this quarter.
On the
iron portfolio, so, you have the numbers,
yeah.
You know, of iron portfolio.
Yeah, so Gynac has done very well for us, so which includes largely iron. I think there we are growing much ahead of the industry. So even if you look at IQVIA, the IQVIA reflection is about 13% growth in the Gynac segment. And so all of our XT continues to grow in double digits. FCM has already talked about on the prescription side. We are again now in double digits growth. So the iron segment is now back on growth mode for us.
Understood. Just one question there before I get into the international business. So on FCM, a clarification, if I take into account both the prescription business as well as the institutional business, was there any drag at all if I look at the reported domestic growth in this quarter?
It would still be about 1% drag. So X of that would have been about 10.5%.
Okay, so adjusted for Orofer FCM, the growth is about 10.5% in India.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Then on the international bit, was there any meaningful benefit of the amphotericin B launch in Europe in this quarter, or we expect the ramp-up to be more gradual towards the course of the year?
Samit, yeah. Hi, this is Samit. In UK, yes, you know, we have started actively supplying. However, in Europe, as we had told you over the last call, we got the approval under the DCP. And each country typically takes, you know, anywhere between 3 to 5 months for its own national approval which we expect to start from the end of this quarter. So I think the ramp up in the second half of the year will be much higher than what we will see in H1.
Understood. That's helpful. And a quick one on ARV and non-ARV. Now, Satish sir mentioned about good growth in both ARV and non-ARV in ROW. What was the ARV contribution in this quarter?
ARV would have been roughly about half of it.
Sorry, you mentioned 50%.
50%, yes.
Okay. And final question from my side, any update on the filing of semaglutide in Canada?
Yeah, in Canada this month we will be executing our filing batches. So I think we continue to be on track to file towards the end of this fiscal year.
Got it. And in India, I'm assuming we are on track to be amongst the first wave of launches, as you had mentioned earlier.
Yes, that continues to be our effort.
Got it. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This is a reminder for all the participants. If you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Gagan Thareja from Ask Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Good. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah. Sir, could you speak a little bit louder, please?
Okay. All right. So the first question is, is it possible to give some flavor on how the Sanofi cardiac portfolio is doing for you 1Q of this year compared to last year?
So the Sanofi portfolio, I think it's broadly similar to what we are reported for the overall domestic growth. It's been doing in line with that. I think our target for Sanofi has been to grow that in line with the IPM, and I think that's what we have been there in 1Q.
Okay. And on the additional diabetic portfolio that you acquired from Sanofi, is it possible to understand the rationale? Are these drugs not seeing a slower sort of growth, given that we've had newer generation of drugs coming in for diabetes, or these still constitute the first line of treatment and therefore will you expect them to grow healthily?
Gaganji, this is Satish Mehta. Sulfonylurea continues to be first line of treatment, and products like Lycomate and others, they continue to have traction. If you recollect, in the calls that I had probably a year back, at that time, I was trying to communicate to my equity holders that we would like to be strong, skincare, dermatology, and we would like to be strong in metabolics. As far as skincare is concerned, we took a big step, by getting somebody like Satya starting Incutix, and I'm getting traction. And as far as metabolics is concerned, this is a hook, Amaryl, which will connect with me to all the major, consulting physicians and diabetologists. With the help of that, I feel that there will be rub-on effect on other products and will do well. As you know, our brand, Vildagliptin is doing quite well. That's one of the top three brands, post-LOE. So with Amaryl coming to the fold, our position in the diabetic segment, metabolics, will significantly strengthen. And that will also help us when we go for semaglutide as and when, we get the LOE. So this is plan of overall strategic thinking, because with Amaryl, we'll get a good connect, with the doctors, and obviously the same doctors are my potential prescribers, for semaglutide as well.
And was the sales force also transferred to Encure from Sanofi for these
brands? No, that you explained some time back. We already have three divisions in cardio-diabetes, so this is going to one of the divisions.
All right. And is it possible to understand the contribution? I mean, I understand it's early days, but still possible to understand how the derma and consumer wellness divisions are ramping up. Any flavor would be helpful here.
No, currently we are in the investment mode. I mean, we just started a few months back, And Gagan, aapko to maloom hai, in pharma, you know, the gestation period is 18-24 months. But at the same time, you know, the duties, you know, we are getting prescriptions. I mean, the unique preparations, you know, we are launching in the derma segment, and also whatever, you know, Namita is doing in earth, that is obviously very well received. But this is a patient's game. It's not going to happen in a day. It has taken me 30 years, you know, to get the company to this level. Oh, bhai, thoda time to do, yaar. Ho jayega derma.
I think, just to add, I think what we had guided last time is that overall we think that these two new initiatives should drive about 1-2% additional growth in our overall domestic business. I think we're on track for delivering that for the year.
Thanks, Vic. Very helpful.
Yeah, and one more, sir, on you know, the asparaginase and the Vitamin AMD product. Any further updates on, you know, when you believe you can come into the market with these?
Sure. So for the R-Aspergillus, we have already submitted our dossier to DCGI, and we're waiting to hear from them in terms of when they constitute the SEC and when it will be reviewed. So fingers crossed there. And on the wet AMD also, very positive in the sense that, you know, we should be completing our clinical trial by the end of September. So whatever time it takes after that to compile our dossier and submit it to the CDSCO. So very hopeful that at least one, if not both, should get approval in this financial year.
And final one from my side, sir. You could give us the latest gross debt position for the company.
Latest gross debt is around 700 crores.
Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best, and I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Bharat Shah from Ask Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi. Satishbhai, it was good to hear the five-year journey that you outlined, which will be marked by not just new partnerships, but new innovation, driving new products and geographies, and underpinned by investment in people, processes, and technology. So that's refreshing to hear that we feel that on a sustained basis, the growth will commence, of which this quarter is marked it rather well. Just to put a little bit of skepticism on that, if you pardon me, but ultimately in the pharmaceutical business, sustained and predictable growth will come only from refreshed portfolio of products, the well-aligned therapeutic areas, and all of that is to be driven by new products developed through the sustained research effort. But a large part of our portfolio, my impression, is more me too. And therefore, how do we aspire to remain on a continuous growth journey? Or what are the steps being taken so that we address these game. On the internet side, half the business is the AMD.
Bharatbhai, can I?
Yes,
please. Bharatbhai, let me take a step back and tell you. In 1995, when I began my journey, everyone dissuaded me from entering into the market, and my friends, you know, from multinationals went to the extent of saying, Satishbhai, pit jaoge. Our market is very fragmented, very, very competitive, and you are one of the last entrants. Now, when I'm talking to you in 2025, the reason why, you know, we have done well is because of science, innovation, and technology. And I take pride in telling everyone that as far as my company is concerned, it is in the forefront in launching, you know, new products, you know, and giving new products to the industry. To give you a few examples, I gave, you know, 11 products in the field of chirality, S-amylopine, S-metoprolol, S-cetotolac. They have been doing exceedingly well. We gave ferrous ascorbate for the first time. We gave ferric carboxy maltose, about which, you know, Ameya asked, you know, sometime back, ferric carboxy maltose. Similarly, you know, we have given 7 biosimilars. And now, you know, Samit just told you sometime back, we are talking about asparaginase, we are talking about bevacizumab. So to that extent, as far as the gene of the company is concerned, it is driven by science and technology. And we are doing a lot of work, you know, in R&D. To that extent, I am very confident that going forward, you know, my company will be in a position to bring new products, because Bharat bhai, you are absolutely spot on. The competition is very intense as far as me-too products are concerned. To that extent, for any company to survive and make headway, it has to focus on science and technology, and that's one area where we are committed, and we are taking a lot of steps in that direction. Samit, would you like to add something? Vic, you can also chime in.
Sure. I think when we spoke about the five-year vision, internally for each of the years, we have already identified which is the product launch for which, you know, a lot of the work has already been done, whether it is, you know, filing batches or submissions. So we have very, you know, crystal clear clarity on each of these 5 years, the one big blockbuster product. So for example, you know, like we did mention liposomal amphotericin B. Similarly, across the years, you know, building on the liposomal platform, there are a few other products. There's of course GLP-1s, and within that some incremental innovation that we're doing. And of course, towards the end, towards year 4, year 5, there will obviously be what we've spoken about earlier and for which we've earnestly started efforts, the whole space of ADC.
Vic, would you like to add something? Vic?
I think it's covered.
It's covered.
So basically what we are saying is it is not merely a vision, good to say kind of a statement, but it is, in other words, it's not just good English, but there is a decent mathematics behind it.
Absolutely. There is absolutely a clear vision and game plan as far as each therapeutic segment is concerned. So the strategy will be clear, R&D will drive, one. The second thing, you know, we like to work with multinationals. We are demonstrated by working, you know, with Sanofi. You've got a big portfolio. Something similar will happen. That is number two. And third part of the strategy will be, you know, working at global level to get some products, you know, like Samit mentioned about ADC or maybe something in phase one. Pick them up and see whether we can develop for the domestic market. So there is absolute clarity at the senior level about the way, you know, the new products will be launched in each and every therapeutic segment.
That is very heartening to know. A related question, you mentioned, Satish Bhai, that this five-year journey will be marked with above-average growth rate. And could you be a little more specific as to what is meant by that? Will it be double-digit or very healthy double-digit? What kind of growth did you have in mind? And also on the margin, if you can make a comment, from 20% or that we are now at, do you think our margins also, what kind of trajectory would hold out?
So I will break it in 2 parts. As far as the growth part is concerned, I will answer margin part, you know, where Vic will answer. As far as growth is concerned, I would like to have 2% more than the industry growth, whether we are talking about India or other markets. Okay. Other markets are also very, very competitive, Europe and Canada. So that will be the aspiration. If you grow by more, happiness. But at least, you know, as well, the basic objective will be to grow by 2% more than the industry growth in various markets. And regarding margin, Vic has been talking that there is a journey, you know, towards the desired results. I will ask him to opine on that. Vic?
Yeah, so, you know, what we have guided, if you can hear me, is that from the roughly, you know, margins that we've guided to for this year, we should continue the journey of increasing our margin profile by about 300-400 basis points over this 4 or 5 year journey, which will be driven by obviously both productivity gains in terms of our India business, as well as improving our, you know, gross margin profile with the business and product mix that we will be working on in the pipeline, and overall operational effectiveness in terms of just the scale economies we will get as we continue to scale different verticals within our business.
Which means about 20% operating margins now. Over the 5 year period, it should be somewhere in the bend of 23-24%.
That continues to be the goal and aspiration that we'll be working towards.
Thank you. And one last thing. When do we think the 700 crore debt on the books is likely to become zero?
You know, if I could just add there, had guided on the debt was that barring any M&A, that should be approaching close to zero even by the end of the current fiscal year. Having said that, two of our recent announcements, one was with the acquisition of a product portfolio from Manx, which is going to be paid for in various milestones, as well as our recent announcement of acquiring the minority stake from Zuventus. I think these two initiatives will obviously add to our gross debt position, which will probably push out, you know, our debt going to, you know, approaching zero by at least one and a half years going forward. Having said that, both of these initiatives we think are going to be very accretive, and I think is money well spent over the that we have announced.
Sure. Thank you very much. And all the very best, Satish Bhai, and the entire MQ team.
Bharat Bhai, we very much value your support, and thanks a lot for participating. And kindly feel free to reach out to us anytime. We are available 24/7. We value your support.
Much appreciated. All of
you. All of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The next question is from the line of Mr. Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Joined a bit late, so I'm not sure if it was of the interest, but just wanted to understand on the gross margin front, quarter-over-quarter, where let's say the business composition in terms of geography has not changed much, but we've seen good improvement in the gross margins. If you could just elaborate on that first.
So the gross margin, I think what we had even indicated last time, right, is largely driven more by the product mix in the international market. So I think we'll have to look at more at an annual level. For an annual level, I think what we had indicated is we expect this year to be about 50 basis points higher than what we ended last year. So, but between quarters, you will have variations depending on the product mix that you have across businesses.
Got it. And therapy-wise, as far as India market is concerned, right, you know, of course, there's secondary data available, but if you could throw some light in terms of which therapies we have, you know, sort of performed better than the industry and where we have dragged.
So I think cardiac and gynec, we have done much better. Cardiac also has been more in line. I think, so those two have, then others, I think we have more and less in line with the industry. Which has, what has driven a bit more, as I talked about, is some of the new launches and all which have come up.
Got it. And as far as emerging market is concerned, where we have seen, you know, on a year-on-year basis, sharp increase in the revenue, but how to think about it on an annualized basis for next 2-3 years?
I think for this year, what we had indicated is that for the emerging markets, we expect to grow in high teens, closer to 20%, around that.
And again, what really happens, so the emerging markets, when we are talking about, say, ARV and non-ARV, ARV is a function of, you know, winning the tender, so there is an element of uncertainty. So it's very difficult to predict, you know, what happens, though, you know, the company is in good position. And as far as non-ARV is concerned, that is also a function of getting registration in various countries. And if you get the registration, so for some marquee products, so that we market, in that case, there will be uptick. So I think, you know, one can, as Piyush rightly said, you know, we talk about the base business, so as I mentioned some time back, normal growth plus 2%, that will be the aspiration. But suppose if we get, you know, some of the products, you know, registered for which the number of files are pending, there will be obviously be an upside.
Got it, sir. Got it. And as far as, let's say, operational cost, is it going to have some meaningful increase, let's say, FY26? FY27, or is it more to do with like inflation-linked increase?
I think it's largely inflation-linked and the business growth-driven.
Got it. So as far as our business growth is more than the inflation, then effectively it should help get much superior EBITDA margins as we go along, right?
Yes, that is the intention.
That's what Vic was indicating.
Yeah. So I meant to ask, effectively, that should, you know, reflect in FY26 itself, where FY25, at least, you know, the EBITDA margins or Q1, it was similar to the fourth quarter or first quarter. So I'm just trying to ask that, you know, when do we see that improvement in the margins?
Yeah. I think what we had guided last time was that, even on the operating cost side, we should see about 100 basis point improvement vis-a-vis last year on account of both of these areas. Better productivity with the Indian field force, as well as, you know, some of the scaling of the business and better utilization of our manufacturing facilities. So overall, as the business continues to grow healthy double digits, and inflation where it is, that's where we feel bullish that we'll continue to get roughly that 100 basis points of expansion that we had indicated.
Got it. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Alankar from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Samit, you mentioned about working on an incremental innovation in GLP-1. Can you please elaborate on that?
Sure. So in terms of, you know, some of the approved GLPs, we are looking at some tweaking in terms of improving the compliance through different, you know, dosage systems and the incremental innovation within the formulation space.
Okay. I mean, currently our filing both in India as well as markets like Canada would be through the synthesis route, right?
Semi-synthetic, yes. That is going off patent in 2026. The fermentation route, the semi-synthetic, is going off in 2028. So we'll be fully synthetic right now.
Fair enough. The other question was on this Zuventus acquisition. Now, due to this acquisition, will there be any change from an operational standpoint in the acute business?
No. No. Nothing changes.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. And the final question is more of a clarification on what Vic just mentioned. I think in the previous call, we had spoken about a 150 basis points EBITDA margin expansion for FY26. So, is it 100 basis points or 150 basis points guidance for FY26?
Yeah, so I was specifically alluding to the OpEx portion of it as a 100 basis point. Piyush just mentioned that we also anticipate 50 basis points expansion in our gross margins based on the product and business mix.
Understood. That clarifies it. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Gagan Thareja from ASK Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for taking the follow-up. The first one is on ARV. I believe there's going to be a re-tendering cycle this year, later this year. Any, you know, idea you can give us in terms of whether funding agencies from a budgeting standpoint are going to be constrained or that is not a constraint whatsoever? And secondly, you know, lenacapavir now has, in post the phase III trials, even WHO strongly recommends, you know, for prophylactic, you know, benefits to take up lenacapavir. How do you see, you know, this evolving over a period of time? Do you see lenacapavir becoming the first line of treatment, perhaps in the next two, three years?
The first question you take, lenacapavir, Samit will take, and I will also chime in.
Yeah. Again, on the tendering, I think as of now, we haven't heard anything that there's any constraints on are happening. I think most of the tenders are continuing as normal, so we haven't seen that impact.
And in terms of lenacapavir, absolutely, you know, it's not entirely certain how long the duration will be before that becomes the treatment of choice, because different countries and different agencies have to change their adoption protocols. But definitely in the medium term, it should be one of the, you know, dominant therapies as far as the ARV space goes.
Now, Gagan bhai, one more thing I would like to tell you. If you see the latest issue of Economist, they are extensively covering, you know, HIV. And a couple of constraints, you know, I would like to flag off. One, you know, as far as the PEPFAR funding is concerned, though restored, but at the same time, against, you know, $3.5 billion that they have been giving, it has been reduced to $2.9 billion, if I remember correctly. The second thing that has been happening, the Americans have been the most generous in terms of contributing to global fund. There also the funding has been reduced. So I think, you know, what really happens after a couple of years, as and when lenacapavir hits the market, I think the product, you know, no one can question the superiority. Even this particular article also says, you know, that lenacapavir is going to be a game changer. But the funding, you know, for global funding, PEPFAR funding, then all the governments, you know, which will be interested in buying, that will also play a very important role. Because unlike, you know, what is happening, you know, right now, like TLD, it's not going to be that cheap, I believe. Samit, can I say that?
Correct.
TLD is not, it's going to be a game changer, but at the same time, you know, there will always be a cost attached to it. So one will have to wait and watch, you know, how it plays out. But it's a technological breakthrough. Let's accept that, you know, it's a big thing.
Is it possible to give some idea of the EU business growth ex of the Manx numbers, which I believe would have been there in the contribution for the first quarter?
Manx was quite small. It will have been about 1 to 2 million only in the quarter. I think Manx will ramp up over the quarters.
Okay, all right. And any possible to give any idea of, you know, how you see the scale up in liposomal amphotericin and tenecteplase over the next, let's say, you know, 2 to 3 years? What sort of scale is it possible here, and also in the other two, you know, products which are under trials for you? Any possible idea?
Sure. So you know, in terms of liposomal amphotericin, like I mentioned, we have approvals in a lot of the major markets, but there are still a few big markets where our product is, you know, likely to get approved in the near future. The kind of capacity we have created and the bets we have taken on this product are pretty significant, because there are two different facilities with large lyophilization capacities that we have installed and are ready to churn out product. So I don't see any constraints coming in terms of capacity, and I think the full effect of all the approvals and the max volumes will probably materialize in the next 12 months across different geographies. Probably in Europe and UK and US it will be more near term in the next 4 to 6 months, but some of the other big emerging markets where the full potential will probably take 12 months.
No, the second question that he asked, you know, was regarding tenecteplase and other ones.
Yeah, no, I'll come to that as well. So on tenecteplase as well, you know, not only are we seeing new registrations flow in for the original indication of MI, which is your myocardial infarction, but surprisingly, there's a lot of interest and offtake also happening, which is doctor-driven from those countries for the indication of stroke. You know, there are countries which have started picking up small volumes on named patient basis. They are seeing excellent results, and they are now, you know, pushing towards getting full registration, which will then have a log-fold increase in terms of the kind of offtake that happens. So tenecteplase is going to be, again, in the next 18 to 24 months, a very dominant product for us. And in terms of the other two in the pipeline, as far as clinical trial, I'm assuming you're referring to R-asparaginase and bevacizumab. There as well, the trials have been done, keeping in mind a dossier that can be submitted across all the emerging markets. So for example, for R-asparaginase, the reference product is the EU-approved product. And hence, you know, once that approval comes through, we should also be able to file across a lot of different countries where there is a severe unmet need. So overall, across these four products, we see the next 18 to 24 months having a significant ramp up.
Sure, that's great.
And the final one from my side, sir. Canada, is it is the 1Q growth sustainable for the full year?
Vic?
Yes. So in Canada, I think the growth is sustainable. We had basically been guiding to sort of a mid-teens growth rate for the Canadian operation as a whole. And we're very happy with the Mantra acquisition, which continues to track even ahead of our own expectations at the time of doing the deal. And, you know, some of the synergies, even at a product level, being rolled out across Canada as a result of that, continue to play out. So we are very bullish on continuing that momentum for Canada.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my questions. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Yes, Mr. Bhavesh, go with the question, please. If there is no response from the participant, we'll move to the next. The next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from ARX Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Satish, why more than a question, I just wanted to, it was an aside of a comment. When you were referring to the ARV portfolio internationally and the contribution from America to the program, which is supported, and you referred to the generosity, which has declined. But I just wanted to say America and generosity are oxymoron of terms. I thought I'll just put that a little bit of view on that. And then to a question, based on the five-year vision plan that we have done, in terms of capital expenditure on assets, I suppose more or less we are in place. In other words, it's unlikely that we will be incurring material capital expenditure in buying or putting more assets, manufacturing assets. Is that understanding right?
I can take that question. So, you know, what we had been guiding to is that we expect annualized sort of CapEx spending in the range of about 350 crores a year. If you look at that, roughly about 150 crores of that goes towards more repair and maintenance CapEx, and about 200-odd crores is earmarked for some top-up investments for capacity enhancements or product-specific type CapEx requirements that we have. So barring anything else, I think that's the range that you're going to see on the CapEx front. Of course, we will continue to evaluate and be aggressive in terms of any M&A or strategic alliance or in-licensing deals, which may have some capital allocation. There, our focus areas are obviously going to be India first and foremost and some of the emerging markets. To the extent that we have an opportunity to get some product bolt-on portfolios in places like Europe, like we have recently done, or Canada, we'll continue to evaluate those as well. But by and large, you're right that most of the infrastructure required to cater to our 4 or 5 year growth plan is already well in place.
Thank you. That gives a complete clarity. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Bhavesh, yeah.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question is with respect to the cash and cash equivalent as on June 30th, 2025. So, just wanted the number.
Yeah, 200 crores.
And including the investments?
Yes.
So, why there is no other income in this quarter then?
There is a very small amount of other income.
Okay.
The amount of cash is at the end of the quarter, you know. So throughout the quarter, you don't have cash. It's used to reduce debt.
Okay. And one more thing, sir. So I'm a user of your MQR's Aqua Oat moisturizing cream, and just wanted to provide an honest review about it. So it's a really good formulation, and the cream does the job quite well. So just wanted to appreciate it, and I'll be a consumer and also a long-term shareholder of the company. Thank you.
You are going to get line extension and absolutely superb, you know, packing, top of the line, matching the global standards in the next 2 or 3 months. And we share one thing in common. I'm also a big time fan of AquaCoat, and I also utilize the product. And yeah, you're going to get some line extension, which are quite exciting. And I like it. If somebody likes, you know, my product, it makes me feel happy. My hemoglobin level goes up, man.
So I'm using it for the last almost couple of years. So one derma, yes, she recommended me. So she was the HOD of KEM Hospital. So she recommended me that go for Aqua Oat. It will reduce your the sensitivity of the skin. So it has been a helpful cream for me. And it's the plus point of the cream is it's a fragrance free. So a lot of creams in the market have fragrance and alcohol. So that doesn't suit
Many times what really happens, so I've seen that it adds some fragrance, so it goes for itching also. You know, that also happens.
Right. Yeah, I have one packet at home. Like, whenever it gets over, I bought another one. So thank you for it, sir.
Thank you.
And all the best for the future quarters.
Thank you.
As that was the last question for the day, I would now hand the contents over to Mr. Piyush Nahar for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for joining today's investor call. If any of your queries still remain unanswered, please feel free to get in touch with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Satish Mehta. Your feedback, you know, means a lot to me. We feel very enlightened by the inputs, you know, given. And we are committed to improve, committed to take whatever suggestions are coming from you very, very seriously. And we'll work, you know, for your company with more vigor than ever before, because you give us a lot of motivation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Emcure Pharmaceutical Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.